Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I am thankful to be amongst the land of the living. This is the day that the Lord has made. And as we know, we are to rejoice and be glad in it. For he has created this day with a purpose and a plan for you and me. And we will continue to dig in our teaching series, When Faith is Troubled. And I pray that your faith has become a little bit stronger, has been stretched a little bit farther, that God would do an amazing work in you, your life, as you walk through this journey in your Christian walk. And I pray that your faith has become a faith that is glued to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we are going to continue to work through this teaching series, When Faith is Troubled. And before we start, I would love to just whisper a prayer of praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray, brothers and sisters, if you would touch and agree with me to whisper a prayer and as we move forward in our lesson. So if you could bow your heads with me today, and we are going to just honor the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for allowing us to come to the throne of grace today, to the banquet table of your word, coming thirsty and hungry to grow further, to grow deeper, and to see what you want us to see through your word. Lord, allow the Holy Spirit within us to shape us and mold us and to show us the sweetness of your word, the richness of your word, that we would proclaim the gospel to many who are hurting, who are needy, who are needing to hear and receive salvation. Lord, use each and every one of us who are listening to this broadcast today. Move in them as according to your purpose and your plan. But most of all, Lord, teach us how to discern your word, to listen to your still small voice, and most of all, to be obedient to your call. Lord, that we seize every opportunity to show somebody to Jesus as they come asking, what must I do to be saved? Now, Lord, to the hurting, and Lord, to those who have lost someone or a loved one or a special friend, comfort them, Lord God. To those who are needing a Savior, Lord, we pray that they would cry out to you on this day as they come humbly before your throne with a heart that is transparent, Lord, that a will to surrender and tears that just bless you because of their pain, Lord God. Comfort them. Now, Lord, as we move through your pages, help us to hear what you have to say to us and help us to see through your word what you want us to see. We bless you and we exalt you because you are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for partnering with me through prayer. And we are going to just come ready with your Bible, with your heart, your mind, and with your paper and pencil ready to write notes or take notes and allow the Holy Spirit to move you and show you the richness of God's word. So as we looked on last visit, At part one with this teaching series, When Faith is Troubled, we walked through the first few verses in Matthew 14, and we started in verse 22. And our first point in this teaching series was Peter walks. And today's point is, second point in this teaching series is Peter's measurement. And our closing point in this series for you note takers is Peter's focus. So I encourage you to write these points down. And if you didn't get an opportunity to listen to the first point in last week, I encourage you to revisit or visit the broadcast, www.blogtalkradio.com/heart2heart MFTH. And that's heart, the number two, heart, MFTH, meaning mission from the heart. And listen or revisit that first series concerning Peter walks. And in short, I named it Walk It Out. And today's second point is Peter's measurement. And in short, I named it Work It Out by Giving It Up. And that's where we're going to focus today's lesson, Peter's measurement. And we're going to go back through Matthew 14, and I want to reread the verses 22, and I'm going to read through verse 31, and our focus is going to be verses 30 and 31. So I encourage you to follow along and listen for what the Holy Spirit has for you to learn. Now, of course, I indicated that faith, now faith, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So before we turn our pages to Matthew 14, or if you've already done that, hold that spot and let's look at Hebrew 11. Hebrew 11, verse 1. And as I made mention of this particular passage in the first point of Hebrews 11, verse 1, we read through verses 1 through 25. And I didn't read it in its entirety, but it's usually called the witnesses of faith, or the hall of faith. And verse 1 in Hebrews 11 reads this way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, as we understand faith being something that we hoped for, but we have yet to see it, and we read through the verses starting at verse 3, by faith, we understand that the universe has been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen has not come into being out of things which appear. Now, think of it this way. By faith, we understand. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So if your faith is in God and you hope for something to take place in your life, depending on what that is, regardless of what that is, everybody's circumstance or hope in God and their situation that they pray and hope that this will take place, it will manifest itself, it would take shape, it would be according to what God's will is and your desire. Now, if I'm putting my hope in God, Christ alone, and I leave it there, and as I pray and move and experience my life, as I wake up and go down for the evening, I don't waver back and forth like a fish out of water. I maintain faith and trusting in God's word and believing what he said and placing my hope in him. So that means I'm anchored in God and I'm trusting him. I'm believing in him. I'm believing what his word says and promises. Talking about faith now. And when I anchor myself there, I anchor my soul there, my mind to think, my will to choose, and my emotions, my feelings, I've anchored them all in God, in Christ Jesus, in the word of God, my faith. And when my faith is anchored deep, rooted, then my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. My hope is built on Christ and Christ alone. And because of my faith, because of your faith, miracles take place. Because of a woman's faith in Scripture, she had an issue of blood, bleeding. She bled for many of years. Doctors and medications could not heal her from that infirmity of her physical body. But she heard of a man coming through the town. She heard of a man named Jesus, and she was declared unclean within her city. She was an outcast, if you will. And she heard of a man named Jesus, and she said, "If I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed." She pressed her way. Now, her faith and her hope was in that man, Jesus Christ. She did not care what people said. She stepped out of her area that they placed her as being unclean. She was stepping out on faith, and she took a risk of being in the midst of others who thought they were clean. And because of her issue, she stepped out of her comfort zone in her particular area, and she stepped and started walking it out. She walked in her faith, and she moved through the people, and she said to herself, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment." Now, her faith was the portion that caused her to move out of where she was. And that environment gave her a reputation of being unclean because of her issue of bleeding. But her faith in a man named Jesus unctioned her to step out and go toward him. And when she stepped out and into the midst of the people, she did not care what people thought. She did not care what people were saying about her. She no longer cared what they thought about her. All she cared about was reaching Jesus Christ, that she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be made whole, that she would be healed, that what she put her hope in, she would receive her blessing. And she stepped out and walked by faith, and she reached and touched the hem of his garment. Some translations in scripture say a little rabble or a thread that may have been hanging on the hem of his garment. And she reached and touched him in that sense. And Jesus knew someone touched him. And he turned around and saw her standing there. And he said, "You touched me." And she reached, she touched, he turned, he looked, and he told her, "Because of your faith, you are healed. You have been made whole because of her faith." And that story in Scripture should encourage us to do not give up, do not allow anything around you stop you from pursuing, from anchoring Jesus Christ, the Word of God, that it would shape and strengthen and stretch your faith. Her faith was stretched when she stepped out into the midst of the people. She pressed her way toward Jesus Christ. She was hungry for what he had. She wanted a blessing. She wanted to be healed. She wanted to be made whole. And she knew that he could do it. Now, that was her hope, that she would be healed physically. But her faith, she stepped out into the midst of the people, pressing past them, moving through them, and she touched the healer, Jesus Christ himself. And she said, and he said, Christ said, "Because of your faith, you have been made whole. You have been healed." Now let's look at the hall of faith, or the witnesses of faith, and just giving us a little recap of Hebrews 11, verses 3 through 25. Now, I encourage you to read them in their entirety, but we walked through a few of these verses just to show you that even though they stepped out on faith, they did not see the evidence of the things that they hoped for. But out of obedience, they did with what God called them to do. Verse 4 in Hebrews 11, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." And you can read the remaining of the verse. And let's look at verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to be well pleasing to him. For he who comes forward to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now remember the woman with the issue of blood. She pleased God because she stepped out by faith. She no longer sits soaking soured in her circumstance, in her situation. It has just been too long for that to have happened to her. She stood and said, enough is enough. I am going to step out on faith, and I'm going to move toward my healer, my deliverer, and that was Jesus Christ. And verse 6 in Hebrews 11 clearly states that without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him. Talking about God. For he who comes forward to God must believe. We believe by faith that he is God. He is Alpha, the beginning and the end, Omega, that he is Yahweh God, Jehovah God, that he is the one true God, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. She diligently sought God. She pressed in. She pressed in toward the crowd, and she saw, and she touched. She wouldn't let anything deter her from pressing in toward Jesus Christ. And through her diligence of pressing in, she received. God gave her the reward because of her faith, and she diligently seeked him out, Jesus, through the crowd. And that was a pressing in, moving people out of the way. She received her blessing, and that was to be healed. Yes, physically, but she was healed spiritually. Also, by faith, in verse 7 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Noah, having been divinely instructed concerning things not yet seen, and being moved by pious fear, prepared an ark for the salvation of his house. Now, by faith, Noah built an ark concerning things that he has not seen and had not heard of. Rain flooding the entire earth. And he may have not been able to fathom that in his finite mind or thinking, limited thinking. All he did was obey. By faith, he did what God commanded him to do. Now, this particular point today is Peter's measurement, and we're going to get to that. But I want to just set the tone with the woman who had an issue of blood, that you understand how important it is that our faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And Noah, in his obedience, he trusted God, the Creator, to build an ark, prepare an ark for the salvation of his house. And verse 8, by 8, by faith, Abraham, being called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Now, how many of us will go and not know where we're going? Trusting God every step of the way. This type of faith is challenging, but it's worth it. So now, as we see faith being demonstrated by the woman who had the issue of blood, by Noah who built the ark, by Abraham who went out not knowing where he was going, and so many others in this particular passage of Hebrews, and I encourage you to read the entire passage so that you could see the importance of how faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay, so now as we go back to Matthew chapter 14, and I pray and hope that Hebrews 11 verses 1 through 25, that complete chapter, helps you see a bigger picture concerning your faith and how you are to walk it out. She walked out her faith when she stepped out of what she was comfortable doing. Now, as I mentioned last teaching series, I said faith cannot grow without risk. She took a risk by coming out of where she was confined to by the people in her community because of her uncleanness, the issue of blood. She took a risk. Now let's look at Peter in Matthew 14. And let's start rereading with verse 22. In Matthew 14, verse 22, and immediately he compelled the disciples to step into the boat and to go before him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. Now, this is Jesus. And after he sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain privately to pray. And when night fell, he was there alone. Verse 24, now the boat was already in the midst of the sea. And in the midst of the sea gives us an approximate 600 feet out. That's approximately where the boat was. That's the distance that the boat was out in the sea, 600 feet out. Being battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So now just picture that. The boat was being battered by the waves, and the wind was being contrary, or the wind was being radical, tossing and thrusting the boat from the left to the right, and the waves reaching heights that brought fear to the disciples within the boat. Let's keep reading. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, now the fourth watch was considered to be 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Think about that. 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Who came to them? Now, in my translation, he is capitalized. So, Jesus came to them. And it continues to say, walking on the sea. Now, Jesus left the mountain privately after he left the mountain where he was praying privately. And he walked on water. He came to them walking on water. 26, and the disciples, seeing him walking on the sea, were startled. They were afraid, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Now, we know that their minds were probably playing some tricks on them in trying to decipher, is this a ghost or is this really who we see this is? And with the rain coming and the waters and the waves thrusting the boat from left to right, they thought it was a ghost. They saw someone, but they may not have been able to make him out. And they cried out for fear. And when their circumstance started trying to take control of their thoughts, take control of their thinking, they did not know what to believe. And our circumstances in our life can have an effect on us to a certain degree. When we allow that and immediately Jesus talked to them, saying, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Now, the mind can play so many tricks on us and have us thinking in a manner that we may doubt, we live in fear, we're uncertain. We don't know what the end's going to be. We don't know how this is going to work out. So we start worrying. We start fretting. We start trying to work things out in our own effort. But what they did is they cried out because of the fear of what the waves were doing, what the wind was doing, what the boat was doing, what all of them were doing, and then they saw someone or something walking on the water. So in their mind, they knew that they'd never seen anybody walk on water. So they thought it was a ghost. Now, this is a heavy situation, a heavy circumstance, and I'm sure you, as well as myself, have been in the midst of some situations that were very, very heavy on our heart, heavy in our life. But we had to walk in faith, not by sight, but walk by faith. And as we see Peter and all of the others in the boat were afraid. And Jesus said, "Take courage. It is I. I am here. I'm right here. Do not be afraid." They heard his voice. They still may not have been able to make him out very clear because of the rain or the waves or the shifting of the boat, trying to keep from falling overboard or drowning in the sea. But he spoke, and Jesus immediately and said, "Take courage." Now that is comforting to me, and I pray that it is to you when you are in a moment of testing, your faith being stretched. And it's hard to hear God's small, still voice saying, "Do not be afraid." Because we're focusing on the water that rains down, the winds that are blowing in our life, the shifting of the boat that causes us to run over here or run over there instead of being still and know that I am God. Verse 28, Peter And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Verse 28, command me to come to you on the water. Now this is Peter stretching his faith, and he's taking a risk by asking Christ to command him to come to him, Christ, on the water. Now he sees Jesus walking on the water, and he's willing to take a risk. He's willing to step out on faith, just as the woman with the issue of blood, just as Abraham, who was told to go, just as Noah, who was commanded to build an ark. And Peter is taking a risk. In verse 29, and he said, come. Jesus told Peter to come. And Peter, coming down from the boat, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Now, this is called Peter walks. Walk it out. And we looked at faith on the move. Who is faith on the move? Faith on the move is Peter, the woman with the issue of blood, Abraham walking, Noah building. That is faith on the move. Jesus walks. And when we exercise our faith toward him, then that is our faith being stretched as we move toward him. Move toward him in our prayer. Move toward him in our thoughts. Move toward him in our actions, seeking the word of God. Move toward him in our emotions, crying out to him, standing steadfast on his word, his promises, trusting and believing what the word of God says. Now that's faith in motion, faith on the move. Now we're going to look at Peter's measurement of faith in verses 30 and 31 in this second point. Now we saw faith taking a risk. In verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. In verse 29, and he said, come. Jesus said, come. Now that's the call. There's a deeper message in this particular verse. Jesus is telling Peter to come, but he's also telling us to come to him. To come to him. How are we to come to him? We are to come to him through salvation, accepting him as our salvation, surrendering our life to him through salvation. Come unto him. This is what Christ wants us to do. And so he's telling Peter, come. Matthew 11:28 states us to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. Jesus is telling us to come unto him. He wants us to rest in him, trust in him, place our faith in him. Now here's Peter. And Peter, coming down from the boat, he steps out of the boat. He steps out of where he's comfortable. He's staying in the safe place with the rest of the disciples in this boat and hanging on for dear life. Because of the waves that are rocking and the wind that is blowing and they're being tossed from left to right, he does not want to leave where he's safe. But he said, if that is you, command me to come. Now, this is Peter, the one that's always ready. He said, Peter said to Jesus, I will die with you. But Peter denied him three times, denied knowing Christ three times. This is Peter who's saying, command me to come. And in verse 29, Jesus told him to come, and Peter came down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Now look at that faith. He stepped out of the boat, began to walk on the water. Now that's faith. Now, his measurement of faith, I couldn't tell you. But all of us have a measure of faith. And with that measure of faith, we are to exercise trust in God, believe by that measure of faith, and then we are to know and obey. Abraham did it. Noah did that. The woman with the issue of blood, they stepped out. Now let's look at verse 30. Now Peter, one of my commentaries read this way on the footnotes. Peter came down from the boat and walked on the water by faith in the Lord's word. Now, the word of God was come. And this is the same word that Jesus is telling you and me to come. For the non-believer, for the lost, for the one who's not accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, he's stating to us today, to that woman or to that man, to that girl or boy, come. That is God's word. Come. And this is what Peter is doing. By the word of Christ, he said, come. So Peter came down from the boat and walked on the water by faith in the Lord's word. Now, his measure of faith, we don't know. But let's look at some scripture that shows us more about having faith. Now, we're in the second point, and my short message, or should I say short point, was work it out by giving it up. So now how do we work it out? We see Peter working his faith out. How did he work it out? He worked it out by getting out. He worked his faith out by getting out of the boat. The woman with the issue of blood, how did she work her faith out? She worked it out by obeying what she knew she had to do, and that was step out of her environment where she was excluded. She was put over in an area where she could not be around or amongst the others because she was classified as unclean. She worked herself out of that environment that she was used to. Peter stepped out of the boat that he was in with his other brothers, the other disciples. He was comfortable being with them. If the boat was going to go down, they were all going to drown together. But Peter exercised a measure of his faith. He worked it out by stepping out of the boat. Now, I know faith can be hard to exercise because we're so comfortable being in the midst of what we're comfortable in being, whether it be in our homes. We get comfortable driving from work straight to home, and we don't deviate from our pattern. But sometimes it's good to take a risk so that our faith can grow. And when faith is troubled or tested, then we grow more in our faith. We start trusting God more. We start believing what the Word of God says more. And when trouble comes our way, we don't fret. We don't run around wringing our hands as if there's no hope. We don't run around wondering, what are we going to do? Why is the world seem to be happening this way? Why are things happening this way? We don't have answers. Where do we seek and who do we go to for answers? That is a person running around who's totally discombobulated, who's totally out of sync with what God commands us to do. So now let's look at verse 30. And it reads this way: "But seeing the strong wind, he became frightened. And as he began to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Now, before we dig into this particular verse, verse 30, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 7. And you may be familiar with this particular verse, but listen to what it says and follow along with me in chapter 5. And it reads this way: "For we walk by faith, not by appearance." Some translations may say, "We walk by faith, not by sight." So that means we don't look at our circumstance. We trust with what God promises us. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, let's look at Psalms 119. Now, Psalms are very, very encouraging. They're comforting. And the Psalms can be a healing to the soul. Psalms 119, and we're going to read verse 105. And it reads this way: "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Now, the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, if the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, then that clearly states that we are to stand on what the word of God says for us as believers in Christ Jesus. And the faith, the measure of faith that we have, will grow, and yes, it will be stretched, but we will grow to the strength of trusting the word of God. Why? Because Psalms 119, verse 105, clearly encourages us to know that the word of God, talking about scripture, the word of God talking about Jesus Christ, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now we're going to look at verse 30 in Matthew 14. Let's reread it. Now, a measure of faith. I'm sorry, we're going to go to Matthew 17, verse 20. Hold your spot in 14, and we're going to move over to Matthew 17. Verse 20. And it reads this way. Matthew 17, verse 20. And I'm going to read this in the NIV, the New International Version. And it just gives us a little deeper understanding of faith. Matthew 17, verse 20. He replied, "Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed unto the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day they will be raised. He will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. And we're going to stop right there. Verse 20 states, "Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Now think about that. Faith the size of a mustard seed, and a mustard seed is a very small seed. And it took me to have to see one to see how small it really is. Even in that size, or even smaller, the measure of faith is not so important as long as you have faith. exercising your measure of faith, it can move obstacles out of the way. It can move things out of the way. It can allow your blessings to be received, good measure, pressed down, running together, spilling over. I mean, God can use your measure of faith to open up windows of heaven and pour you out great blessings. He did it for the woman with the issue of blood. He did it with Abraham. He did it with Noah and so many others in that hall of faith, the great witnesses of faith. And through our faith, we receive the salvation of eternal life. Now let's look at Peter and his faith. So go back to chapter 14 in Matthew, and let's look at what happened to Peter in verse 30. But seeing the strong wind, and I want you to underline that word, seeing the strong wind, he became frightened. And as he began to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, I can clearly see, and I hope you see this also, somehow or another, he shifted his attention on his circumstance. He shifted his attention on what he saw while he was in the boat. He saw the winds, the strong wind, and the waves, and he lost focus of Jesus Christ. Verse 30 clearly shows us where he lost sight. Then Peter came out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Now, is that you? Is that me? When we're in the midst of our situation, when we're in the midst of a circumstance, when our faith is being stretched, when our faith is being tested, and we don't know what the end's going to be in a circumstance, and we start focusing again on that problem, whether it be a problem within our finances, whether it be a problem within our family with a child that can be defiant or a child that's wayward. Maybe it could be in a situation with your job. You're not sure if the job is going to play out. You're not even sure if you're going to be the candidate for the job. And you believe the job is going to be good for you, but you don't know if it's the job that God has for you according to his will. What about your marriage? Is your spouse treating you in a way that is not godly? Or are you treating your spouse in a way that is not godly? Your health is uncertain. Your faith is being tested, stretched, and it's for you and I to work it out. How do we work it out? We work it out by giving up our circumstance over to him, capital H-I-M. We work it out through giving it up, let go and let God in that circumstance. When Peter, in verse 30, started putting his attention where? He put his attention on the waves, on the wind. And what happened? He began to sink. He lost sight of Christ. When he saw the strong wind, his faith vanished. And that happens to you as well as me. When we start focusing on the wrong thing, our faith seems to diminish. His faith vanished. He should have walked by faith in the Lord's word, come, and not by looking at the circumstances, by sight. And that's how we can be from time to time with our finances. The money is short. Don't know how we're going to pay for next month or this month's electric bill or the water bill. Or what about that cell phone bill? And what about that wayward child? We're at our wit's end on how we can help them. Walking by faith and not by sight. When we are following the Lord, we should walk by faith, not by sight, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5:7. And this is what Peter should have been doing. And of course, he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." We get to that point to where we surrender it all and we throw our hands up and say, "Lord, please help me. I do not know what to do. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know which way is left or right." And God says to us, "Thank you. Now trust me." And Jesus said in verse 31, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Why did you doubt? Since the Lord said to Peter, "Come." Now, he said for Peter to come in verse 29. That's the word of God, come. And if he tells us to come, then we are to come by faith. Let it go. Give it over to him, the circumstance. Focus your attention on him, putting your faith rooted and anchored in him. Peter should have stood on that word, come, and should not have doubted. The Lord rebuked him in verse 31 by saying, "Ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" Comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God. And we stand on the Lord's word. Faith grows from hearing the word of God. And we stand on the word of God. That's working it out. That our lives will show that we stand firm on the promises of God, regardless of what's going on around you. As you can see, Peter, he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." And in verse 31, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, 'Ye of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Don't doubt God in your finances. Don't doubt what he can do with your wayward child. Don't doubt him concerning a position or a job that might be playing out. Where one door shuts, there's another one opening up. And in your marriage, don't even consider divorce. Consider Christ and his promises. in a relationship between two friends, reconciliation is the best way. Reconcile the differences between the two. Don't worry. Trust and believe that the two can agree. Talking about a friendship, a relationship. Go back to that person and mend that relationship. Let go of bitterness that keeps you from reconciling a beautiful relationship. And your health. If your health is looking a little bleak, trust by faith that you are healed by the very word of God. Work out your soul salvation through faith in God's word. We should simply believe in his word and not doubt what he says. Now the adversary, Satan himself, is going to cause the troubles of the world to cause us to doubt God. He will allow shootings in the world. He will allow a wayward child. He will allow short finances. He will allow a marriage on the rocks. He will allow a relationship between two friends and even your health to cause you to curse God and die. And I use that because that is what Job's wife told him to do. Read that in the book of Job. Job lost everything he had. And he had sores from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And he said in Scripture, "Naked I came and naked I go." And he also said in Scripture, talking about Job, "Though they slay me, yet will I trust him." And his wife said to him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Now, our enemy will use our circumstance as a vice to come against us, to cause us to lose sight, like Peter did. Peter lost sight. He started doubting God. He started doubting what he saw, himself walking on water, believing by faith, and on the very word, come, C-O-M-E. He did not focus and stand firm. He started doubting. And when we doubt God, then we start moving in our own strength. We start operating in our own mind. We start doing things according to our own will. We start operating in our emotions, in our feelings. And this is the very thing that God tells us not to do. As we see, Jesus stretched out his hand in verse 31. He stretched out his hand. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" So regardless of the amount of faith you have, just don't doubt him. Don't lose your faith. Jesus died on the cross for you and me. And he died on the cross, and he was buried in a grave, borrowed tomb, and he resurrected on the third day for you and me. And we believe that by faith. So for the one who may not know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of his sin, I encourage you right now on this particular day that you turn your heart and your life over to Christ. Surrender it all to him. For the crack addict, for the alcoholic, for the druggie, for the prostitute, for the pimp, for the one who is just in disarray. Jesus says, come. Come unto me. And surrender it all to him. So I encourage you to pray with me right now and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's standing there waiting for you to come as he stretches out his hand to catch you, to keep you from falling, to keep you from sitting and soaking and souring. He says, come. So if you would, for those who may not know him, and brothers and sisters, I encourage you to pray with me right now for someone that you may even know in your circle of influence. Lift them up by name. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it is your wayward child. Call them by name, that they would come to Jesus now. So let's pray, if you will. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe by faith that you are my salvation. Lord, I cannot save myself. I trust you and I believe in you and you alone, for you are my refuge. You are my safe haven. I am a sinner. Forgive me for what I have done. Lord, I need you now. I believe by faith that you died on the cross for my sin. And Lord, I trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So brothers and sisters, thank you for praying and lifting up that person that the Holy Spirit placed on your mind to lift up in prayer, that the Lord would send others by to water with the seeds that you've planted, and that he will do the increasing in that person's heart. And for you who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You are saved now. I encourage you to work out your soul salvation. And you just now walked by faith. You've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So you are walking as Peter did on water. Now you are in a position to work out your soul salvation by the Word of God and getting into a good Bible teaching church, a church that you can be baptized now by the submersion of water. And when you rise up, you will be shouting, hallelujah, I am a Christ follower in the name of Jesus. And get into a small Bible study or a Sunday school class that you could be discipled, and continue to listen to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, so that you can continue to grow and go by in faith. And I tell you, this is what the Word of God does. It extends the Word of God through Jesus Christ by salvation, through what he did on the cross, and we believe by faith, and the Word of God is unpacked and it's expounded, and we move through the pages, that it would purify your soul, that it would stretch your faith, that you would grow and go and lead somebody else to the ark of salvation. Now, this is the mathematical equation, multiplication by discipleship. And I just encourage you to place yourself in a Bible teaching church and just saying hallelujah to the receiving of the Holy Spirit, and I allow him to do a new thing in you, to work out in you, that he would grow you and shape and mold you, that you would be on fire for Jesus Christ. Well, this brings us to the end of this particular teaching series, part two, When Faith is Troubled. and we looked at Peter's measurement in Matthew 14, verses 30 and 31. And we will continue with this conclusion of this series, When Faith is Troubled. And we will look at point three, Peter's focus. And we will look at verses 32 and 33 in Matthew 14. So remember, the grass wither and the flowers fade away season after season, but the word of God, it remains forever and ever. God bless.